Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 17 December, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are in the two greatest chapters in the word of God that explains and defines exactly what grace giving is, something that most Christians today have no idea. But the Macedonians understood it, and the Corinthians came to understand it. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, in our Wednesday night class, Tom Gilbreth had the perfect article. We're studying grace-giving, and the whole key to grace-giving is God's grace. And he has an article here about the grace of God. Are you concerned about people who take grace too literally? People who claim Christ, but they intentionally stand as far from him as they think they can and get away with it. We should feel concern for such behavior. It can be a symptom of some bad stuff. But we must not let such concerns diminish the centrality of God's grace in the spiritual life. When it comes to salvation, grace isn't just all we need. Grace is all we get. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The New Testament scriptures use the phrase, in Christ. Very important phrase. It teaches about the baptism of God the Holy Spirit in the church age, entering the church age believer into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We as royal family of God are aristocracy, because we are in Christ, in union with Christ. It speaks of the royal family of God in Christ. It's first used this way in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Grace is the deciding factor in our lives. Not works, grace. Even excellent ones like praying and studying God's Word and witnessing for Christ. Grace does not diminish good works, such as grace giving. It makes them possible. Grace makes them possible. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We need to draw close to Jesus. Well, that's fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. When you complete that, you have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. We need regular communion with Him, like a man walking through the desert needs water. In John 4:14, Jesus told the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And this describes a new, unique life, ever renewing. What Jesus called living water is God's grace flowing in our lives in countless ways. Just to stand in His presence and pray is a gift of grace. Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4 says, come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That, by the way, in the church age, is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. And into His courts with praise. How can sinners enter the presence of the perfect and holy God with singing, thanksgiving, and praise? Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We enter His presence with joyful singing and bold confidence, because His is the throne of grace. God calls us to serve Him, to avoid sin, the cosmic system, and to thirst after righteousness, grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. But those things do not save. We do not earn even a smidgen. That's a good word, smidgen. We do not earn even a smidgen of the salvation Jesus fully purchased for us and gives to us freely. We should examine our own lives, even at the risk of being disgusted with what we see. But we must not question the efficacy of Christ's death on the cross on our behalf. If you are in Christ as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ, then I can adapt the words of John Newton. You'll know this hymn. And can say to you, grace has brought you safe thus far, and grace, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved grace of God, will lead you home. Well, that is, he must know Wednesday night is grace-giving night. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And the whole key to grace-giving. Why most Christians haven't got the clue, they don't have a clue what grace-giving is. Their fundies are so mixed up, confused. They are trying to tithe and get special blessing because they give 10% before taxes or after taxes. God doesn't give a damn about any of that. Tithing has nothing to do with giving, has nothing to do with grace giving. Tithing is taxation, and we are taxed every way you can be taxed. And you ought to relax and not have to get all cranked up to be taxed some more. And I've had people come in here and come up and wanted to know if they could tithe. And I says, well, are you paying your taxes? You're tithing. You're not going to tithe in here. You don't, in fact, I'll save you something. We don't want you to give anything when the offering bag goes by. I would like you not to put anything in it until you grow up in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you don't understand grace giving. This has nothing to do with the spiritual life and Christianity. So just assemble, learn the Word of God. Keep learning and learning and learning, learning about God's grace. Grace orientation and God's Word doctrinal orientation. And when you get enough of the Word of God in your heart, then you'll realize grace giving has nothing to do with tithing, nothing to do with 10%. And God, they think that if they give 10%, God's going to bless them in a special way. No, He's not. He's not going to bless you at all because you give 10%. Before or after taxes. You're so legalistic. You're so self-righteous with who and what you are and your works and what you're doing. You haven't got a clue as to grace and grace giving. But for the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer who advances to maturity, who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, who has maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, that believer has the most phenomenal function of grace in his life. He lives his life in grace. And grace giving, well, that's just the outflow of all the grace that's flown into his life and into his heart that God has provided. God sends all this grace into that winner believer, and he has it, he knows it, and that's the inflow. And the outflow is the most wonderful grace giving, generous grace giving. You love to give, you want to give, and you want to give and love to give graciously and generously. And it's not because some people say, oh, you don't have to do that. I'm not doing this because I feel I have to do it. I'm doing this because I want to do it. I love to do it. I want to give to you in grace. I love to give to you in grace. That's why I'm doing it. But have you ever had anybody say, well, you don't have to do that? I've had a lot when I go to restaurants and that, and I tip everybody. I tip everybody. And they, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, I know I don't have to do it. I want to do it. I'm very happy. It makes my heart happy when I do it. I love to do it. And when you get to that point of really knowing what grace giving is, you'll be the most generous, gracious giver, and it will be something that you want to do, love to do, and it will characterize your life because your life has conformed to the grace of God. That's how fantastic grace giving is. Two whole chapters by the Apostle Paul. We've completed chapter 8. We're just beginning to start. Chapter 9. Woo! It really gets smoking in chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 5, we have the exhortation for readiness. Readiness for grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1 starts out, "For as touching the ministering to the saints," we have the preposition peri, plus the affirmative particle men with the conjunction gar, plus the genitive singular of diakonia with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of the definite article with the prepositional phrase. Now this is the kind of stuff that gets any pastor, and there aren't that many anymore who study from the Greek and the Hebrew, but for those very few who are still studying from the original languages, this is what gets you all cranked up and wanting to, well, makes me want to. That's the only problem. If I get down and do push-ups, I can't get back up again. But at one time I could. And one day down the road, I may even get in and get a Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Knees. They have this new thing out. Rich Blair's one that told me about it. Jiffy Knees. You need Jiffy Knees. Okay. But I think I'd do better with a Jiffy Lube. But well, it may happen. I'm going to talk to the doctor. And I'm going to tell him. I don't want to be out of commission for any length of time. I want to get this done, get back in the pulpit, and get back teaching the Word of God. And if he can't say, that's it, well, then I'll keep, you know, I see you all looking at me, standing up and trying to get up here. He's just an old fart of a pastor. That's what he is. Well, we got here. This is really something that gets me excited. We have an article in front of a prepositional phrase, which is ace plus the accusative plural of hagios, with a definite article. So we start out with the preposition peri. P-E-R-I. Peri. And peri is used at the beginning of a sentence, as in our verse. When it's used at the beginning, it correctly translated concerning. That's how we'll translate it. Concerning. And then we have the affirmative particle men combined with the conjunction gar. Men gar. M-E-N-G-A-R. Men gar. And when you have the affirmative particle men with the conjunction gar, it is a very special construction in the Koine Greek. It serves as a wake-up call. It's saying, attention! It's saying, be on the alert. And one of the best ways to translate this is, for indeed. So we have now corrected translation, for indeed concerning. For indeed concerning. And he's presenting this unique construction to put the spotlight on how special grace giving is. And then we have diakonia. D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. Diakonia. All right. And point one, diakonia comes from a verb, diakoneo. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-A-K-O-N-E, long O. Diakoneo. And diakoneo, this verb literally meant to be a waiter and to wait at someone's table in a restaurant, to function as a waiter. That's diakoneo, to function as a waiter. And by the way, we, Deb and I, we have the greatest waiters in all of Las Vegas with the restaurants we go to. They are absolutely phenomenal. And it's just an absolute pleasure. And everybody, they all, as soon as I come in, I say Merry Christmas. I don't, anybody says Happy Holidays, I don't say Happy Holidays, any of that BS. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas! And I say, as soon as I walk in, I say Merry Christmas to everybody in the whole place. And so as soon as I walk in, here's all these waiters and all these busboys and everything. If they see me, they come up to me, and the first thing you say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. They say it to me, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Well, I shake all of the waiters and all the waitresses and all the tables, all of them. And then when we walk out, same thing, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. They all, whatever they're doing, they leave and come up and shake hand, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And another thing, we go there, sometimes we'll go there when somebody who's with us is having a birthday. We were just there and Sophia, our granddaughter, was having a birthday. So we celebrated her birthday. Well, I've gone there so many times, they know when they bring out the dessert we had was chocolate gooey butter cake. Ooh, if you haven't had chocolate gooey butter cake, you missed out, I'll tell you. They bring that and they brought that to her and light the candle. And then not just one waiter, all the waiters come to our table and they say, okay, Pastor Olson, okay. Happy birthday to you! And the whole restaurant. And all the waiters stand there singing too. They said, we love it when there's a birthday. And you know, if there's a birthday going on somewhere else in the restaurant, and they light the candle, and they're going, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. That is the stupidest, most wimpy little happy birthday. When they get to the end, then I holler, happy birthday to you! And then they look over, and they come over to the table, thank you for singing happy birthday. We have fun at the restaurant. Oh, well. Diakoneo, to function as a waiter. Two, it is also related to another word, diakonos. Diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. And this Greek word is transliterated, not translated, it's transliterated deacon. This is where we have the word deacon. And it refers to the administration gift of a deacon. Three, our word is diakonia. And diakonia means aid, it means support, it means distribution, And in our context in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, it refers specifically to grace giving. Four, specifically it's used in our verse for helping destitute believers in Jerusalem with grace giving. So specifically, it's used in our verse for helping destitute believers in Jerusalem with grace giving. And now we have a very unique construction in the Greek. We have a prepositional phrase, an entire prepositional phrase that functions as an adjective. This is where I love seeing this in my study. This just, whoa. And you know, the Apostle Paul's he's a genius. He does stuff like this. And well, I feel sorry for all those fundy pastors out there who they might have even gone to seminary and learned the language, but they don't study from it. They miss out on what God the Holy Spirit put this down there to communicate exactly the truth he wants taught. I feel sorry for us. We got all these fundy pastors and even some doctrinal pastors that had some training, but they, as soon as they got into the pulpit and the ministry, they just, to hell with that. And they go to the computer or something else, but they ignore the Word of God in the original autograph. Well, you're going to see it in the original autograph. You're going to see what I... And I know, try to put on your seatbelt so you don't fall out. This is highfalutin stuff. So we have tase diakonios. That's the genitive of the article. That's the genitive of diakonia. Tase diakonias. And then we have tase. There's the definite article again. In front of a prepositional phrase. Ace. Tous. Hagios. Oh, mama. Oh, wow. Now, here's the noun, tase diakonias. Here's a prepositional phrase. But because the article is there, tase, ace, tous, hagios, this is an adjective. An adjective modifying the noun diakonias. Is that not fantastic? Oh, Lord, my heart is a good thing I'm taking CoQ10 and magnesium, I tell you. So we have here diakonias, and we always saw this is grace giving. Specifically here, it's grace giving. And this is the prepositional phrase, and that's the, to, the saints. So this is literally the to the saints grace giving. Now, that is fantastic. So this is point five. So literally this is translated the to the saints grace giving. The to the saints. The saints are those saints in Jerusalem who are starving to death, and to the seminary students in Jerusalem who are also lacking funds. So literally this is translated the to the saints grace giving. Now that's spectacular. I love it. I even like it literally better than putting it out idiomatically. Six, If you idiomatically, this means for indeed concerning the grace, this grace giving to the saints. But I like the to the saints grace giving. It's an idiom for, and it should be translated, for indeed concerning this grace giving to the saints. Point 7, to the saints. Well, those are the saints, the believers in Jerusalem who are on the verge of starvation. The believers in Jerusalem who are on the verge of starvation. And it's so great, these believers in Corinth, there's not all of them, but a bunch of them, that they recovered from their reversionism from when Paul just nailed them upside the head that everything, they were living in the cosmic system. They broke the world record on reversionism. And they realized he was 100% right and they were 100% wrong. And then Titus went up. Paul sent his troubleshooter Titus up to see if there was any ministry left there. And when Titus got up there, they told Titus, we realize Paul was totally right and we were totally wrong and we were with him. We're with the Apostle Paul 100%. And Titus taught the same grace and truth that Paul taught. But this time, they have positive volition and humility and they're moving out. And they moved out to the point they got enough grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. There's enough grace that's flown into their heart that out is flowing fantastic grace giving. They're thinking about those believers in Jerusalem, and they now, it was a very large sum of money, but that isn't the issue. The issue is what was going on in their heart. Grace giving, maximum grace orientation. Maximum doctrinal orientation, virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. That's what the issue is, not the amount. Now, it was a very large amount. And these Corinthians at this point, they wanted to give it to them. They wanted to do this. This was something that they loved and wanted to do for these believers in Jerusalem. Eight, these believers have been persecuted. The believers in Jerusalem have been persecuted. They are destitute. And they are in need of financial help. They have been persecuted, they are destitute, and they are in need of financial help. Nine, there is also a seminary in Jerusalem, and this is to also help the seminary students there. So, corrected translation. For indeed, concerning this grace giving to the saints in Jerusalem, it is, and here, how you like this word in the King James? Superfluous. I haven't heard that in your vocabulary. Nobody's used that on me, superfluous. It is superfluous for me to write to you. All right, well, this is the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi plus perisos with the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego plus the articular present active infinitive of grapho plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. All right, well, you've seen the word grapho many times. G-R-A-P-H, long O, grapho. And point one, literally, grapho means to write, and you all know that, so you already had point one down. Literally, grapho means to write. Two, in our verse, it means to write to someone, specifically to write to the believers in Corinth. To write to the believers in Corinth. Three, this writing is the writing of Scripture. This writing is the writing of Scripture. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, where is 2 Corinthians? 4. This is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the writing of Scripture. And that's why, if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you're commanded to prepare for the ministry. And you prepare for the ministry by attending a graduate school, a seminary, and getting all the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic that you can get, and systematic theology. And that's why Lewis Berry Chafer started Chafer Theological Seminary. He started it to train men who had the gift of pastor teacher, to train them specifically in the languages so that they could know exactly what God the Holy Spirit put down there in the Word of God. That was his motive behind it, was to have a seminary and have the best Hebrew teachers and Greek teachers in the nation and prepare these men with the gift of pastor teacher by teaching the original languages. So this is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the writing of Scripture. 5, the articular infinitive of grapho is very important. It is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun. Now, we have a term for this in English grammar. This is the equivalent of the English gerund. The equivalent of the English gerund. Now, I was an English major in college at Washington State University. Debbie was an English major. And Debbie and I know what a gerund is. You may never heard of a gerund before. Well, now you have. It is a verb that is used as a noun. 6, in our verse, the infinitive of grapho serves as the subject of the finite verb, eimi, the to be verb. Writing is unnecessary for me. Writing being the subject of the verb, eimi. Writing to you is. This writing is unnecessary for me. And then, point 7, we have perisos. P-E-R-I-S-S-O-S. Perisos. And perisos means over and above. Well, you could use the King James word superfluous. That's over and above, superfluous, or unnecessary. And that's how we'll translate it, unnecessary. And then the personal pronoun ego, for me, unnecessary for me. For Paul, as the human author of 2 Corinthians. 8, Paul is going to repeat. He says, look, This is over and above what I'm teaching now. It's unnecessary for me as a human author to be teaching this to you. But now, point eight, Paul is going to repeat a principle that he has taught many times. Grace giving is a mental attitude. Grace giving is a mental attitude. It demands readiness of mind. It all takes place in your heart, in here. If you don't have the mental attitude, you don't have the grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, then you won't have the readiness of mind for grace giving. Grace giving is a mental attitude. And Paul taught that again and again and again and again. Nine. Even though some believers in Corinth understand this principle of grace giving, even though some believers in Corinth understand this principle of grace giving, and even though some believers have applied this principle of readiness, they have the fantastic mental attitude for grace giving, and have properly used the principle of grace giving, Paul says, you don't stop there. Hello, any pastor out there, you don't stop there. Point 10. Paul totally understands the importance of repetition in teaching the God-breathed scriptures. Paul totally understands the importance of repetition in teaching the God-breathed scriptures. So, perisos, over and above, superfluous, unnecessary for me, Paul as a human author. But, point 11, therefore the Apostle Paul is going to go over again and again and again and repeat, repeat, repeat. As May Walker, when I was having dinner with her one time, she says, there are a lot of people in Baraka upset with the colonel because he repeats, 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 repeats. But he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's not teaching us so we remember it. He's teaching us so we'll never forget it. I did. Amen. We high-fived and high 10, high 15. I said, you are 100% right. For indeed, concerning this grace giving to the saints in Jerusalem, it is unnecessary for me to be writing to you. Paul knows he's taught this and taught this, but he's going to teach it again. Now verse 2. For I know the readiness of your mind. That's why it's done. Yeah, I know you understand it. I know you remember it. I just don't want you to ever forget it. For I know the readiness of your mind. This is the postpositive conjunction gar, plus the verb oida, plus the accusative singular prothumia with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. The postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar. And gar is the illative use of gar. The illative use of gar introduces a reason. And you correctly translate it for. And then we have our special verb oida. O-I-D-A, oida. And oida means to know, but it is a frozen form. It's a perfect use at the present. And Paul is saying, I have known your readiness of mind. I have known your mental attitude of grace giving in the past, with the result that I know your readiness of mind. I know your mental attitude of grace giving now in the present. That's why he uses oida. And then we have prothumia. 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 All right, one, prothumia means willingness or readiness. Willingness. Oh, Pastor Olson, you don't have to do that. I know that. I want to do it. I want to do it. I love to do this. I love to give in grace. I don't expect anything in return. Nothing. I give in grace everywhere I go, and I don't expect one thing from anybody else. So, prothumia means willingness, readiness. Two, the believers in Corinth are willing to give in grace to the believers in Jerusalem. And that is fantastic. The believers in Corinth are willing to give in grace to the believers in Jerusalem. They want to give in grace to the believers in Jerusalem. Three, they have readiness of mind. They are willing to cooperate. Four, they have humility. They have positive volition to Bible doctrine. They have maximum grace orientation, and therefore they have the readiness, a mental attitude of grace giving. They have a readiness, a mental attitude for grace giving. Five. They are waiting for the proper instructions. That's all they're waiting for. They're waiting for the proper instructions, and Paul will provide the proper instructions through this special delegation that he is sending to them. That special delegation is Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. So they are waiting for the proper instructions, and Paul will provide the proper instructions through this special delegation that he's sending to the believers in Corinth. Titus, his brother Luke, and an unknown believer. For I know your readiness, your willing mental attitude of grace giving, and that's fantastic. For I know your readiness, willing mental attitude of grace giving. And then Paul says, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Wow. Now Paul, evidently right now, he's in Macedonia. He could be in Philippi with the Philippian believers. He could be Thessalonica with the believers, Thessalonians. He could be either one of those areas, teaching the Word of God. But he's there in Macedonia, and he is boasting to the Macedonian believers about the believers in Corinth and their fantastic mental attitude of grace giving. And that's amazing. He's boasting to the Macedonian believers about the Corinthians' mental attitude for grace giving. And who are the believers that nailed the right mental attitude for grace giving? The Macedonians. The believers in Philippi, the believers in Thessalonica, and they had the, well, Paul never in Philippi, in the book of Philippians and Thessalonians, Paul never had to assert his apostolic authority. He did in Corinthians, but not in Philippians and Thessalonians, because they had 100% humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and for the Apostle Paul as a communicator of the Word of God. So he never asserted, he never said, Paul an apostle. He didn't have to do that because they had the most fantastic humility, the most fantastic respect for God, His Word, and Paul as a communicator. So they nailed grace giving. They grew in grace very quickly. Maximum grace orientation, maximum doctrinal orientation. And they were going through persecution in Macedonia. They didn't have a lot of money. And yet, they had this mental attitude. They wanted to support the Apostle Paul all over the Roman Empire. And they did. They wanted to. They loved to. And they did. They sent money to Paul all as he took the grace gospel and the Word of God all over the Roman Empire. And they weren't like the Corinthians that were wealthy. But you know what? They totally understood that God would be an inflow of grace in their heart. And with that inflow of grace in their heart, there would be from them an outflow of grace in grace function, in grace in their life, in grace giving. And then when every time they gave in grace generously, God resupplied everything. In fact, when they gave in grace, God resupplied more than what they had before. We're going to see that in 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to see that when we get to a verse that talks about grace giving in terms of, are you sowing graciously and generously or miserly? Miserly. Reluctantly. Well, those are a lot of believers that are in their giving, they miserly. Reluctantly, grudgingly. And they haven't got a clue. They keep it for themselves. You know, they keep it for themselves. They're the ones that sow the seed, and then when it's harvested, they eat it all. But there are those who sow and then generously, and they give generously, and God resupplies more than what they had before. That's the neatest thing about grace giving. I learned that way back in seminary. And Deb and I, we got married, and well, she handles all the books and pays the bills. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And she starts every once in a while, I'm a little bit concerned. We don't have any money. I said, don't ever be concerned about that. We're the product of the grace of God. God takes care of us in grace. God provides for us in grace. He will provide for us. I don't ever want you to ever spend 1 minute worrying about not having enough money to pay the bills or do this. Don't worry about that ever. God takes care of His servants. God has always provided. He will provide. He will meet our need. You don't ever, ever, ever have to worry about that. And she saw it again and again and again and again. Over and over again, God's magnificent grace. When we were down and had nothing. And I worked here for nothing in this church for a long time. Years I worked here for nothing. Because when I got here, nobody told me that there was all these bills and nobody had paid them and they didn't. The banks wouldn't have anything to do with Upland Bible Church. So I told them, I thought, were you going to tell me about this? You didn't want to tell me before I came here, but now that I'm here, I see. I said, so I don't want you to pay me anything. I want you, whatever offering there is, you pay the bill. You pay the bills. We have to get back into good status with the banks. And I don't want anything. Now, and the church did not support Deb and me. Deb went to work. Deb went to work and did the work for the whole church. My wife, Deb, did the work for the whole church. Church did not support me. Deb did. He started teaching, and that paid the bill, her teaching. And she has always had the most fantastic mental attitude with that regard. And for her, it was like at least 4 or 5 years, I didn't take a salary. And I wasn't going to. And after we got all the bills paid and the bank started dealing with us again, well, then I told the deacons, I said, okay, you keep paying the bills first. And if there's anything left over, why, if you want to give me as a part of my salary, that's fine. Well, it went from nothing to I got $50 a month. That was great. Then I got $100 a month. That was great too. Great. And God made it clear that if I do my job of studying and teaching and feeding the sheep, that He would provide. And He always has. And He always will. And I see the grace of God more in my life now than I ever had in my life. And that grace of God just pours in on the inflow. Grace comes in, grace comes in, grace comes in. The grace of God comes in, comes in, comes in. And I love to have the grace of God flow out, flow out, flow out. I love it. I love to give. I love to give generously. And because I want to, because I love to. I totally understand this whole system that God set up. Grace flows in, and then grace flows out. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. That's what he's trying to teach. The Corinthians started to get it. For I know your readiness, your willing mental attitude of grace giving, for which mental attitude of grace giving I, Paul, have been boasting of you to the believers in Macedonia.
Wow.
Have they come a long way? This is so neat, so fantastic. This is so beautiful. Well, we're going to get into the Paul's boast. This is not arrogant boasting. This is Paul saying, here, the Corinthian believers, they got it. They got the principle of grace. Grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And they nailed down the mental attitude of grace giving. So when Paul boasts to the Macedonians, whoa, the believers in Corinth have come a long, long way. All right, will you come back next week? Well, no, not going to be next week. It's going to be, we got all kinds of things going on here. Christmas, New Year's, New Year's Eve, communion, movie. When we get through all of that, we'll get back into, and we'll get to kaukaomai. An onomatopoetic word, kaukaomai. That's boasting. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.